everybody. This is Cindy Clow, and I'm so excited today to have Colleen Christensen as our guest, knowledgeable person on Minnesota judging. And boy, I'll tell you a little about Colleen and then I'll let her finish. But I've known her since she was a child in the Aiken Dance Program. And even as a teenager, she ran our buses to camp. Can you believe we used to have buses go to camp and she would check the kids off? So she's been a leader ever since she was young. And she judged in Minnesota for what, 19 years?
Yep, 19 years. One shy of 10, of 20. I don't know why I didn't just do one more to round
it out. One more. Yeah. Right? Now she's going to be coaching, so she'll be wearing a different hat. But it's very fun to, you know, as coaches, we're always wondering, how do we get that extra point? And what can we do to shine and stick out? So I don't know where we want to start, but how about if we start with the kick sheet? And I mean, you just can, you can take it away and talk about what judges look for, or we can just banter back and forth and talk about categories.
Sure. Yeah, we can just keep it casual. And actually, the jazz and kick sheets are really similar. Okay. So I would almost recommend, if you are a coach and you're listening to this, I would pull up that category and criteria definition sheet. And that was developed when we redid the score sheet a couple of years ago. But it's the categories, but with a little bit more detail. So if we're not too concerned about what the scale numbers are right now, and we want to just think about what's in each category, I think that might be the sheet to refer to, because it kind of digs into like what is in each grouping there. So, and so if you don't have reference to that, you can get that on the Minnesota State High School League website under dance team. And at the bottom there's a section for forms, and you can go download that if you don't have it handy.
Okay. And I just want to add in here, if you are not from Minnesota, I think you still will get a lot out of this podcast, because you would need to go look at the sheets that you are competing in, whatever state you're at. You need to know what judges are looking for, or if it's at a studio competition, look at the scales, look at the categories, and make sure you're not barking up the wrong tree, because right. I think that's what happens sometimes. Maybe they're looking for movement quality and you're really big on, you know, precision. I don't know, you know, so make sure you know the sheet of the competition you are competing in.
Okay. Right. Like, think about it almost as your syllabus for school. Yeah. You know, if you're writing a paper, you have to write to what that teacher is looking for. So same in judging. So I will only speak to Minnesota because I don't have expertise,
right.
knowledge of their states. But yeah, like Cindy said, it's probably, you know, pretty applicable across the board. So if you have that CCD pulled up, I'll just go down from top to bottom and I'll talk about what the categories are, and then we'll go back and kind of dig into each one. So there's 10 categories on the score sheet and each are worth 10 points. So it's a total of 100 points per judge per routine. And we use the same score sheet and categories regardless if you're class A, double A, triple A, JV, B squad, varsity, jazz, kick. Well, jazz and kick have different score sheets, but the scales are the same.
Right.
Yep. So the top two sections are going to be just about your skills or your kicks, and it's technique. So we've got technique of turns or technique of kicks. And then the second category is technique of leaps and jumps or kick height. So if you think about those, that's just the technique categories. Then the next two down are about choreography, your creativity, your visual effectiveness. The next three categories down are difficulty. So it's the difficulty of the routine, the difficulty of your formations and transitions. And then in the jazz side, it's difficulty of skills. And on the kick side, it's difficulty of kicks. The next two sections are execution. We've got placement and control, and then degree of accuracy. And the last section is routine effectiveness. So that's just to give you a lay of the land of what we're looking at here. Okay. I was thinking about,
You go ahead.
Okay. I was thinking about how to break this down in a way that's easy to understand. And I thought of this morning, so I haven't really vetted this idea past anybody, but I'm just going to tell you something I thought of. Yeah. To me, it's almost like carbohydrates. There's simple carbohydrates and complex carbohydrates. And on our score sheet, we have kind of simple carbs, which are your skills and your execution and your routine. Like, they're easy to understand. They're kind of easier points to get. So I'm going to call those like our simple categories. And then you have your complex carbs, which are your choreography points and your difficulty points. Usually those are the categories that are a little bit harder to understand or digest, right? And they take a little bit more, just a little bit more to really figure out how to get the points in those categories. So if we think about it in that little analogy, our simple carbs, our simple categories are kind of our dancer points, our individual points.
Okay.
So, I mean, it is still a team score, but really the technique of turns or your technique of kicks, it's everybody's responsibility on that team to have good technique. It's everybody's responsibility to have good kick height. And we're still looking at that, you know, across the board as a team, but you could explain to your dancers that those are personal points that you can control. You can work on your turn technique. You can work on your leap height, right? Like, you can work on your placement of your hips and your kicks. So if you spin it that way, it might be a little bit easier to understand. And then if you drop down to the bottom of the score sheet, I feel like your execution points and your routine effective points are also your simple carbs. Placement and control. Your dancers can control their body. Like, and they can be in charge of where their placement is. The degree of accuracy. How well do you know the dance? Are you on your right timing? Those are personal points. They still add up to an overall team score, but everybody is responsible for making sure that those things are in the right place. And
right.
Same with effectiveness. Like, just overall impression. Do you personally as a dancer love what you're doing? If you don't, it affects the entire team. But to me, if you think about that top half and the bottom half as your simple, easy to understand personal points that each kid can be in charge of, I feel like that might give them a little bit of power and
that.
Something to strive
for. I love
Thanks.
That.
I just
I
came
that.
Up with it this morning, but I like it too.
I like that analogy. And it's a good, you know, we're going to have kids listen to this video. So Colleen, that's a good way for them to look at it. They're in control of those points. If they can get their personal, you know, their stuff together, that would be great. And, you know, you talk about routine effectiveness. They have to like what they're doing.
Absolutely. But, and we can tell as judges, if you don't like it and you're just going through the motions, like, it's not fun to watch. We want to feel that passion and know that you're really enjoying what you're doing.
And that can sometimes be hard as a coach, because sometimes you pick the music or whatever we do in Brainerd, you know, and what if your kids don't like it? How do you sell it to them? That's a whole different topic, but you know, dancers, if you don't like what they've chosen, I think that with Colleen saying what the judges are wanting, you have to kind of fake it or buy into it. I mean, everybody's gotta, like, if you were a performer on Broadway, and
just thinking theater,
you're in a show,
the director picked a show that you're not into, you still have to like
sell it.
All right, I'm into Phantom. It might not be my thing, but I'm gonna pretend that I'm the best Christine I can be.
Right. You know, I remember when I came up with the idea of doing Aladdin musical theater for Kick, our kids were like deer in the headlights. They were like, "Are you kidding me?" But they quickly rallied around it and got excited and made it work, you know. But so you have to find a way, and you know, that goes back to leaders too, that they have to spin it. You have to learn to love what you're doing and realize you don't always get your way, but you have.
That's a good life lesson, right? Like,
that's absolutely
the way of the world. And if we're teaching our young people about these important life lessons young, then they'll just become more adaptable adults and probably be more well-adjusted.
So know that how you present the dance affects your score, guys. So it's very important to think about that. Okay. So can we get into, like, for instance, what judges are looking for in technique of kicks? Like, I know the average, they call it the Minnesota State average. When you come in, you walk on that floor, you're a 5. And this is the way I've understood it. You correct me if I'm wrong. And you either go up from there by what you're doing or down from there by what you're doing.
Correct. Yes, everybody starts at the same spot where it doesn't matter what you're wearing, who you are, how big your team is, how old your kids are. Everyone starts at that five, that average. And then what you show us on the floor is how your score either goes up or down. So if we're just going to look at technique of kicks, what we are expecting to see is that throughout the routine, you are consistent, that your upper body is in alignment. We don't have, we're not hunching over. We've got a nice open rib cage. Our shoulders are down and we have posture almost like you have kind of a rod in your back, right? Like you just want to be really nice and lifted. Right. Yes. So no hunching. And then your upper body is in the right place. Your lower body is especially important. So if you think about where your hip bones are, if you were to put your like fists on your hips, I'm doing it right now, but you can't see me. Pretend you have flashlights right there. And as you're kicking, you want that flashlight beam to point straight ahead. So if you have your pretend flashlights and your kids' hips are tilting, now you have your flashlights in different positions and they're kind of going all over the place. So, mm-hmm. So that's a good visual when you're teaching your kids technique is how to not only keep your chest up and shoulders back, but also keep your kind of your pelvis rotated under a bit so that you're not lifting your hips. You don't want to have that arch in your back and make your flashlights go in all bunch of different directions. So really just think of like proper technique. Think about a Rockette and how they're just very, very poised.
As you were talking, I was thinking about the Rockettes and I was thinking dancers go on the Rockette Facebook and just,
oh, yeah.
You'll get what she's talking about because they keep their body like so straight. Granted, I feel like they do a lot easier choreography than we do in
yoga. Yeah. And their height is not where our height is expected to be.
No. But they also are very placed and technique based. Like their feet are amazing. And so that's just a good thing to look at with technique of kicks. I was also going to say, when you're saying all these things as a coach, I'm thinking strength, strength, strength. You need to be strong to be able to keep your hips, your abs need to be strong so that you're not rotating. Your glutes need to be strong. So that's a whole different topic, but you can't just say, okay, I want to have my hips not move. You got to figure out how to not get them to move.
And I would say strength is way more important than flexibility, because if you don't have the control, you could be as flexible as Gumby, but your kicks could go, instead of straight up, they might go off to the side.
Yep, or I have kicks. That.
You have to be able to control where that goes. And that is muscle control.
Yep. Both, I think both are very important. It just depends what your issue is and you need to figure it out,
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what
balance of both. So then if we keep going on the kick side, then we're talking height. And so this is your height of kicks. Our category is high kicks. So we expect high kicks. So we start at a five, which is waist level. Anything lower than waist level does not count as a kick in Minnesota dance team. So if you're getting kick deductions because of kick count, you need to tell your kids need to get at least waist high, which I'm in my 40s. I can get waist high. So I don't really give an excuse for the 14-year-olds that can't quite do it. So you can get at least waist high. And then your height, you want that to be consistent across the team. You don't want one dancer that can kick her face and then the girl next to her is hitting shoulder height or eye height. So you find that happy medium that works for them, your entire team. Decide, okay, we're kicking eye level and that's where you want everybody to be. Or as you go on, if you can get, higher and higher, that's great. Uniformity is important. So not only do you have really straight, like high straight kicks, but are your open straight? Are your hinges straight? Are your fans straight? Are your corks straight? All the different types of kicks. Are your rights higher than your lefts? You want to be a well-rounded kicker. And then your consistency through the routine. A lot of times we see teams that they're coming out, they've got a ton of energy at the beginning. And that first kick set is like, holy buckets, that's great. That's an 8 or a 9. And by the end of the routine, they've lost stamina. That's in the routine effectiveness category, but then everything else drops too. So their kick height might end up at a 6 or a 7. So if you are looking,
sustain it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you are a coach and you're looking at your performance and you're not getting the scores that you think that you're getting, watch your video on double time, and don't really worry about the choreography part, but watch where your kicks start and where your kicks are ending. And that might help you understand why you thought you should get an 8, but you ended at a 7, or, you know, for example. So really uniformity and consistency through the routine is super important.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then kicks.
Yeah, it's kicks. And then on the jazz side of things, we're looking at the first category, second gap turns, and the second category is leaps and jumps. So it's similar to kicks where you're looking at your posture, your upper body placement and your lower body placement. And in your turn technique, we have slightly different expectations from kicks to turns, but you still have that lifted rib cage and your shoulders pressed down. Can you really feel that push and pull of the body, the elongated placement where it needs to be, the high passe, the high releve? You can almost feel the core tightening up. So if we're seeing that in turns, then that's great technique. If you're getting a lot of falling out of your turns, that means that your core is not engaged. And Cindy's got a ton of videos that you can watch if you want to think about just proper turn technique. And then same with leaps and jumps. We're looking at height and the height of not just your toe touch, but also your open leap or your firebird jump or your calypso, just in general, all turns and jumps. The extension, is your back leg as extended as your front leg? Are you aligned in your body? If we took a picture of it in a snapshot of time, is that going to be like proper form in the air? So if you need help on technique of turns, leaps or jumps, Just for Kicks has so many videos on how to nail that stuff. So I'm not going to go into how to be the best turner, but there's a lot
you
of resources.
Want to understand. So that's where all those things come into play. As a dancer, you help control that because, you know, I talk about dropping heels all the time about releves with my kids. And I'm like, judges are just, you know, even if they weren't the most veteran judge, they can see when you drop a heel. And when you're watching a turn set and somebody drops, the level changes on the floor. So, yes. I mean, that, to me, that's strength. And it's also bad habit. You know, you can't let your kids get by with that as a coach. But dancers, you need to push yourself to have a high releve, get stronger.
Yep. And like, you know, if you're playing basketball, you might get your three pointers once in a while, but if you practice your three pointers over and over and over and over and over, you're going to get more consistent. You're going to be better at them. So same thing, like this is just personal drilling, making sure that you're dancing with proper technique and proper form.
And you guys, it's so important to know how much you matter on the team. Like,
oh yeah.
You sometimes kids get frustrated because they're not placing where they want to place. And I go, you know, are you putting in the time to get to the level you want to be? Like sometimes I listened to a guy the other day and he was saying, you can't just want to win. You have to be obsessed with winning. And I think that goes for dance so much because you can't just go, okay, wish I had better turns. You have to get obsessed with it. So, all right, let's keep going on score sheet. I always get into coaching.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's all connected. So, so I'm going to bring us down to the bottom of the score sheet now because we're going to keep in that simple carbs frame of mind under execution and then routine effectiveness. And then we'll come back to the hard stuff or what I consider a little bit more difficult to understand. The two execution categories are placement and control and degree of accuracy. Placement and control is the awareness of your body, making sure the movements that are choreographed are in the right position. And whatever that position is, it, you know, everything can be stylized, but are you doing it as a team? Is your placement consistent? Or do you have, you know, let's just use a high V example. Are you high V-ing here or here or here or here? You know, so just really, to me, those are the easy things to clean up. And then the control, that's the articulation of the movement and the strength of the movement. Are you just like putting a move out there or are you placing a move? Are you doing it with purpose and intention? And then also the consistency throughout the routine, which leads into stamina. Are you starting out super strong and getting kind of lazy at the end of the routine? So again, these are personal points. These are the easy points to clean up, I think. And it's, this is where you go count by count by count and you put yourself where they need to be. And, you know, then as a dancer too, when you get this feedback from your coach, it's not a criticism. It's a, how are we going to get better as a team collectively? So
Right.
don't take it as a oh gosh, I'm bad. Like, just it, they're things. And then degree of accuracy, again, I feel like those are personal points. This is memory, timing and unity, and spacing. Do you personally know the dance? Do you know this dance so well that you can do it with your eyes closed? But are you also doing it on the right time with your other dancers collectively? So sometimes towards the end of the season, you might be knowing your dance like so well that you dance a little ahead of the music. And we tend to see that in that late January timeframe, where maybe those points are coming down a little bit. And you're like, why am I getting fewer points in degree of accuracy? We've done this forever. But I think sometimes you get a little too comfortable and you rush it a little bit. So remembering, what did you choreograph back in October? What was the plan then? And keeping the nerves down, the adrenaline down, and really staying focused in unison. And then spacing as well. This is, where are you placed within your formations, during your transitions, and are you physically in the right spot on the floor?
And there are kids that struggle with that. I mean, you know, many of our schools don't get the gym time that they want. Mm-hmm. So the gym time is very valuable. So you need to be spatially aware of where you are on the floor, and you need to retain it so we don't have to keep doing it over and over as coaches or whatever. And that's hard. That is hard.
Yeah. And I think a lot of teams probably rely on the lines on the floor, which is great, but you just don't know what that gym that you're going to be competing in this weekend is going to have for lines. So you need to have that awareness of just, where do you physically feel compared to the girl or the dancer next to you, and feel the space versus rely on the lines. Both are important, but really have that awareness of, where do I fit in this space?
That's a good point. I always joke with my kids that when I first started coaching, so this is a million years ago, but the dance team wasn't as big a deal, and nobody would pay to put the floor down, if you can believe it. So we would be dancing on concrete.
Oh yeah.
Like, let's say you're at Target Center and they won't put the floor down. You're on concrete. There are no lines.
Mm-hmm.
And we had virtually zero lines, and you would have to do it. All right. So
my team's going to be practicing in the cafeteria 95% of the time. And so we need to know, if this is what we're going to consider center, then you are X feet away, and that's what that feels like.
So, and use your arms as a measurement. Use your elbows when you have hands on hips. There's ways to worry about spacing if you're spatially aware. Okay.
Yep. And when you're sitting, and from a judge's perspective too, it's very easy for us to see where things are off. So when you're on the floor, you can feel a lot of like, I am this far away from somebody or this far away from somebody. But when you're sitting up above, we now have that kind of 3D effect, and we can see like, oh, your angle is not correct either. So you have to think about it from all directions.
I think good coaches get up high.
I mean, as much as you can.
I actually have a ladder that I get up on because I don't always have the option to be up high on a bleachers. So I try to get up on a ladder so I can, you know, see the diagonals and all that kind of stuff. So yeah.
And the last category is routine effectiveness. And this is your sell it points. This is your overall impression. How much confidence do you have? What's your stamina level like? How are you expressing yourself? So regardless if you're doing like a peppy, fun, sassy dance or a really like dark and emotional dance, you still have the same 10 points to work with. And it's up to you as a dancer and as a team to sell that theme, sell that routine to the judges. So this is really like, I feel like one of the sub points in here is authenticity. So really like, are you authentically dancing because you feel it in your soul and your bones, or are you just going through the motions? So it's very, very recognizable to a judge when you're not into it. So I feel like these are points where like, no matter how simple your dance is or how poor or great your technique is, you can get high points in routine effectiveness with the simplest of dances. So really, really lean into that category and sell it. And I guarantee you'll have more fun as a team, your crowd will react better, and you will feel better about your performance when you come off the floor. So
great
own that category.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I feel like those are kind of the easier ones to get. So if you guys have any questions on those categories, you know, feel free to leave a comment and we can address that. But if we want to switch gears and get into our complex carbs, our quinoa bowls of choreography, here is where we go. So the second to top category is choreography. This is the kind of the what are you doing in your routine? And I almost want to call these complex carb points like coaches' points. These are what coaches can really control. What are you doing in your routine? How difficult are you making it? And how creative and how visual is your package that you're putting out there? So in creativity, what we're looking for is musicality, originality, and variety. And I cannot stress the importance of musicality. You need to know that music. You need to know where your highs and lows are. You need to know where the backbeat is hitting. You need to be able to dance to the lyrics as well as the instruments and really, really use your music to tell your story. So, you know, I'm not saying a story like you need to give us the movie theme or whatever, but like dance to your music as if it has, well, it does. It has multiple layers to it. So provide choreography to hit those layers and you will have a solid routine that feels like it was meant for that music. So I feel like it's very, very important before you even start doing anything, find music that you love, that you want to listen to over and over and over, and really draw out the nuances of that music. To me, there's nothing more like kind of a bummer feeling when you have a piece of music and that team doesn't hit that high beat. It's such a letdown. I'm like, oh, to me, that's a choreography mistake.
Hurt
my heart. Yeah.
That's my thing. Of course, that's what I love to do. And that's where I started our business with was choreography, but I can't stand it when I'm watching it. It'll be the most, you know, the most climactic part. And they just gloss over it with something.
Yep.
And I'm
it's
like,
a transition
no.
or
yeah,
something.
I'm like, no, you know, and some, you know, you got to use your beats and your musicality and go exactly to the music, you know, and, you know, like use the 80 and a 1 and a 2, you know, the little triplet beats or whatever. Yep. I'm trying to say, you can't just go boom, 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 you know?
Right.
And you talked about the layers. One time Allie and I were choreographing together and we kind of got in a little, it's so fun to choreograph with Allie because I can say what I really think. And
yeah,
you know, it's fun. Cause I was like, no, I hear this. And she's like, no, I hear this. And we decided,
now you've got group work.
Exactly. We go, let's do it. This side did this and this side did this. And we had two rhythms going on. It was cool. That was a long time ago, but it worked, you know?
Yeah.
So listen to your music. I have it in my car over and over and over when I'm imagining it and I'm trying to see what would be a great beginning, what would be a great end, what would be the most climactic part in the song. It does need to tell a story.
Yep.
So
anyway. And use your pauses too. Don't forget about the non-beats. And also just because it's a high bang doesn't mean you have to do a toe touch. You can be really interpretive with your music using it in unique ways, which kind of brings us into the next portion of that creativity category. Originality. Is your dance meant for that song? Or like Cindy said, are you just going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I can take that kick set and put it to any music? You know, there's going to be times in any choreography where it's going to be on a 1, 2, 3, 4, and you probably could put it to different music, but you know, overall, is your dance matching your music? And then variety, you know, there's nothing kind of more frustrating when you've seen three instances of the same move. Like we only have 2.5 minutes to get a routine out here. I really don't want to see like six toe touches or, you know, for example, three times of splits. That's just, you have a limited amount of time. Give us some variety in there. So, yeah. Then, so that's creativity. Just really, really think outside the box and try things that are different. It may or may not work for you, but just use your music to your advantage. The next category down is visual effectiveness. And this is where I feel like you can have so much fun with your dance. And it's probably sometimes difficult to figure out this section, but this is really where you take it to that next level. You've got a great routine with tons of variety and musicality, but now how do we add that extra dynamic layer into it? Are we hitting different levels? Are we using different planes of our body? Are you always just a straight up and down type of thing? Or are you breaking the plane and using different angles of your body? There's more than just arms and legs that we're made up of. So really use that body and change the movements and really make it more visual. Use your groups.
Is being down on the floor something that would change?
Oh,
yeah, for
absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like as you're choreographing, you can almost feel those moments where you're like, something needs to be different here. Like, we got to get down on the floor. We got to use, you know, even just let's plank on this part and then into some rolls and just
right.
Really, really, I almost kind of feel, and we'll talk about this when we get into formations, but like, when you watch a tennis match, things are kind of going back and forth like that. But then you have your lobs and you have your like straight volley points. Like, really think about the different levels and bringing us around the floor. So yeah. The more, and that'll help with all of your visual effectiveness.
I think sometimes when you watch your routine on fast forward,
yes.
You can see, is it just right here or
yep.
Is it moving in, out, you know,
yep.
Fast forward is helpful. Slow-mo is helpful too. So watch
yep.
your videos.
Yep. And this is where the use of groups comes in, and the use of the floor, covering different zones of the floor. So really just I feel like the more visual you make it, the more enjoyable it is to watch. Make your crowd and your audience kind of move around the floor with you.
Okay.
So that's the choreography section. Both are worth 10 points each. Then we've dropped down to difficulty. This is the stuff where you might start out the season getting fives and sixes, but you can keep adding and adding and adding stuff on and hopefully grow this area. So the first of the three in difficulty is routine choreography. This is your quality of movement, the complexity of your choreography, and the distribution of your movement. So we're looking here for not just that kind of that 1, 2, 3, 4 beat, but just how are you expressing your entire movements. So in the example on the CCD, we're talking about variety and types of music. Like, is it sharp and staccato, but also sustained and smooth? And then do you use a little bit of like stop pull? So I feel like the collegiate teams are really good at this kind of thing. And I would look to them for inspiration on how to really use of different varieties of types of moves. So sometimes I think Minnesota traditionally can be very precise and, you know, in a box, but we want to really think about growing as a dancer and growing in our choreography here. So the more complex the movements are, the more difficult the routine is going to be. And then the distribution of movement as well. Are we moving throughout the entire routine, or are we just packing all the hard stuff in the front? Any questions or things you want to add on to that one, Cindy?
No, I mean, I think I've learned over the years, you know, you have to have hard things at the end. You can't just, you know, equal distribution. And it's funny, or maybe it's just as a choreographer, I don't think that way. Like that I think of the music more than how I'm distributing the skills. So sometimes we may have to go back and go, oh, we aren't hard enough at the beginning, or we're not hard enough at the end. We were only thinking visual, you know? So I think it's important to analyze and go, it's not like in concrete. You can change your routine and update it. It should be a work in progress that's getting better and better as you go.
Right. Right. And we also want to think about like the kids that are doing the more difficult movements, the larger the quantity of dancers doing the hard things, the more difficult your routine is going to be. So if you've got a team of 15 and three can do the hard stuff,
not
chances
really.
are your entire routine geography is not going to quite level up to where you would want it to be. So the more kids that can do the hard stuff, the better your scores are going to be.
And I think as a coach, you need to be realistic. Sometimes that's what we have. And so you have to work with what you have. But like, if you have the same three people, it's very hard. So like sometimes we separate our kids as coaches into the leggy kids that can do the extensions and the turning kids and the stunt kids. And we try to figure out how we can vary it to get the most bang for our buck.
So, yep. Yeah, use what you have and show us what you have. Also, don't show us what you, how do I want to say this? Don't show us what you can't do. So like if you are
I
not,
say that all the time. Yeah.
If you are not good at certain skills, don't do them. Like
don't
we don't
put
need
them in.
To know about it because just because everybody else, every other team is doing these crazy combinations. If you can't nail it, don't do it. Do what you do best.
That
show
is
us what
a
you
really
can do.
Important point. If you get nothing else out of this whole video, you know, because I used to be a twirler and I certainly wouldn't have put a twirl in that I knew I couldn't catch or something I couldn't do. You stick to what you can do. Yes, you keep trying to get to that skill and keep working on it, but you know, figure out when you need to take it out if it's not working for your team.
Correct.
Because you're not impressing. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Then the next one down is difficulty of formations and transitions. So this ties very tightly, I think, to the visual category, but this is also about how do you get into your formations and out of them? Is it very obvious? I did my move. Now I'm walking. Now I'm doing more moves. Like that's what we call a hit and run routine. You hit something, now you're running to the next one, and then you're going to hit something else. Very obvious, very simple. What I want to see as a judge is that seamless formation that all of a sudden now you've just gone from a circle to a triangle. And I didn't even really see how you did that.
And you're like, how'd they get there?
Yes. And there's some teams that just have this figured out and I don't get it. Like it's fantastic. This is an area that I am personally as a coach probably going to struggle with a little bit just because how many other dance moves can you do to get to this new thing? So it's really thinking about how to be original and getting from one place to the next without just your obvious transition moves. Also here, we're looking for use of floor and getting off the center. Don't do this all the time. It's so obvious. And are you distributing? Is that the word? Yes. If you're distributing your formations in a way that, makes sense throughout the routine too. There's nothing more kind of boring than just watching, okay, you've been here forever. Like it's time to move. It's time to do something else. Don't get to that point. Move before you get fatigued. Variety, making sure your spacing, getting in and out of the formations is great. You don't want to just be like, okay, we are here on 8 and we have to be here on 4. But what happened in the 1, 2, 3 to get there? Was everybody consistent along the way? So think about your, I don't know, your pathways, if you will, and how you get there and your spacing within it.
Sometimes what helps me as a coach is to watch like marching band, like DCI.
Yeah.
It's called DCI Drum Corps International, and just see, it's also frustrating when you watch it because they have these huge groups, you know, and there's no way, like if you have 10 kids that you could do that, but it gives you an idea about the seamless travel. So
even with 10 kids, there's ways that you can do it.
Yes.
You don't have to do, you know, just scatter or messy transitions or the ones that are just chaos. You really want it to flow and work together.
And I think that's hard for dancers to understand. Like I've had kids make formations for me, ideas, but they didn't have a rhyme or reason to them in a lot of times. And when I'm doing formations, I'm thinking, how do I go from this to that and make it look cool and not have it look like a scatter? And I learned that from the judges. I learned that from Laura Berger Olson telling me, no, you guys are, we were probably doing hit and run and we were losing points. And that's what she told me we had to work on. So I studied it and got better at it. But yeah, it's hard. The whole formation thing is hard.
And I think too, one of those things is like, it's okay to keep, if you have a formation that really transitioned well to the next formation, use it again next year. We're not going to remember. Like if you found some things that are really, really like, gosh, that looked good, keep it and
I
use
feel
it
like
again.
some,
You don't
I can think of a certain school that does that a lot. And I'm like, oh, I saw that last year. And I'm one that remembers it. And so I'm like, oh, they did that last year, you know, but you're right. If it's not broken, don't fix it. Work, use it again.
I mean,
or
try new things too,
every other year or whatever. Yeah, that's a good point. So,
And then our last category to talk about is the difficulty of skills and the difficulty of kicks. So the top of the sheet, we talked about your technique and your height and all that great stuff. But now we're going to talk about how hard is it. So in your skills that for your jazz section, that's your combos, your how are you stringing things together? Are you doing your hard stuff at the beginning and the end? And also, what is the pace of it? Are you doing everything, you know, dun, 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 dun? Or are you doing quick, quick, slow? I think, Cindy, you're really great at showing variety of tempo in your routines. I remember that audition routine a couple of years back.
Thank
and
you.
just how much tempo changes in that. And the dancers really had to react to those varying tempo changes. And it's hard to do slow kicks. It's hard to do slow turns, but it's also really difficult to do fast, 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 fast and nail it. So,
and you think judges pick up on that, right?
And the ones that didn't had a little, we had conversations about that in the post meet about how you have to, you know, give credit where credit is due. So I would say that your difficulty of skills really is moving into those more complex combinations and how you're using the music.
And you talked about, I didn't mean to interrupt. You talked about seem like stringing things together. I think a good way that someone explained that to me once was instead of printing, have it be cursive.
I think I came up with that one time. It might have been
kind of sounds like one of your analogies. Because that kind of helps, you know, our captains or our choreographers, because they understand what we're meaning is you can't just do a calypso and then do dot, dot, dot. You want to do the, you know, Shanae into the calypso, into the roll on the floor or whatever. I'm just throwing stuff out there, you know, so
totally.
It's so that it's connected. So think about that, not being disjointed, but being connected and smooth. So,
And there's kind of the different levels, right? Like when we learned to print in elementary school, it was maybe not the cleanest printing, but as we got older, it got a little bit better. Then we learned cursive. And if you get really good at cursive, try some calligraphy and try some different stylized moves. So that's your spectrum.
I love it. I love that analogy. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I also had, I told some kids, like, think about chicken noodle soup out of the can. That's your five, right? And then if you're going to make homemade chicken noodle soup, now you're making the pasta and you're adding the rotisserie chicken and you're adding the vegetables and the spices. So you're getting a little bit more away from just the basic, but then you might go really crazy one day and make some chili that's really infused with flavor and go over the top and let's try jambalaya. And now every bite has crazy flavors. So really just, I don't know, I love an analogy to visualize things, but
that helps me. That's neat. Yeah. Especially the chicken noodle soup, the basic, the, you know, gourmet.
Yeah. Right. Like you can have a spoonful of chicken noodle soup and you can taste the broth, you taste the chicken, you taste the carrots, you taste the noodle, but then you have a bite of jambalaya and you can't really identify all of the different flavors in it. You just know it all works together and it's a hearty bite. So I don't know. Now you're hungry for lunch. And if we flip to the combination of kicks side or the difficulty of kicks, it's kind of the same premise there. The combination of the kicks, how you are putting them in as different varieties, different paces throughout the routine. And I would say on both sides, jazz and kick, use ambidexterity, which is a fun word to just say. But it's very obvious when you are really strong with your right kick. Oftentimes we see teams that are doing all the hard stuff on the right, but once in a while you see some left hinges or some left around the world or left corks and you're like, right on, you have both sides of your body in balance. So I feel like it's very important to stress being using both sides.
Yeah, for sure. One year, just to be fun, we did left Alcicones.
Oh
And
yeah, I remember that. And it was, I
I don't know.
remember saying like, oh my gosh, this is different. Like, yeah,
Yeah, it
it's
was
very
hard.
exciting.
It was
Yes.
hard, but you're just like, why don't we train more for I can't even say it, to be
I
ambidextrous.
know. Ambidexterity. Yeah.
Why don't we train harder? Like, so I know at our studio, we're really trying. Every time we do right chenets, we do left chenets, and they're not as good, but keep working them. That do something different. Judges notice it. I remember the crowd even noticing it. It was like, whoa, and we didn't look quite
Yep.
as strong on them, but so it was a call for
But I
us.
think it's good for just your body composition too, and like the strength. You don't want just, you're not just gonna only do bicep curls on your right hand side. You've got to match it on the left hand side too. So work out both sides so that you're a well-rounded dancer in all departments.
Well, Colleen, we thank you for this. Any last things you want to say? Because I think we really covered it, and we're getting long here.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I could talk about score sheets all day long. I love this stuff, and it's complex. And the thing about dance is it's always evolving. So, what you might think of as a seven this year is maybe there's teams out there doing even harder stuff. So we have to leave room for them on the score sheet. So it's kind of a hard thing to figure out is where do you fall? You think you're really nailing it, but on the scale, if everybody else is improving, you kind of have to keep up with the Joneses a little bit. But also do what you can do. Don't do what everybody else does. Just because they're doing it doesn't mean you have to do it. So work with what you got and use the score sheet to your advantage. And every category is separate. So you can totally get nines up here and sixes over there, and it all balances out.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your knowledge and sharing it. And we're going to share this for the dancers, not just the coaches. So I really appreciate that because I know they're hungry for it. So thanks, Colleen, and best of luck to you in your new venture this year as the head
Thanks.
coach over at Aiken. So,
Yeah, thanks. It's very exciting.
all right.
We
Well,
have
thank you.
tryouts next week too, so I'm really, we're
Oh,
getting into
exciting. Exciting.